Trace the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies speaking for us. Thank you, Lord, for your strength walking within us, making us stronger than our weaknesses. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for your helps you have sent into our lives to lift us up from our helplessness and hopelessness. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for a new dawn you have brought upon us. A new dawn of great things. A new dawn of a new glory. A new dawn of a new beginning. A new dawn of mighty miracles. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for honoring your name in our lives and situations. Thank you for demonstrating your love toward us by taking good care of us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for demonstrating your love toward us by forgiving our sins and drawing us closer to yourself. Thank you, Father. We thank you for great things you have in store for us, some of which you're going to release into our lives this morning. Thank you, Lord. We also thank you because your mighty hand is going to touch every one of us this morning, and we shall all come back with testimonies. Thank you, Lord. I ask that you manifest your power in this place, O Lord, as we would be spending time in your presence to learn and to pray. O Lord, move mightily among us. Move mightily in this place. Touch every life. Help everyone. Heal everyone. Deliver everyone. In the name of Jesus. Those that need to join this meeting, that are not yet here, O Lord, bring them in Jesus' name. We want them to partake of the blessings you have for us this morning. O Lord, help them to join as soon as possible. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. In Jesus' name. We have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We're going to be looking at a topic this morning that says restoration for the remnant. Restoration for the remnant. Who are the remnant? And what kind of restoration does God have for such people? Let us read from Isaiah chapter 4. Isaiah chapter 4, from verse 2 to 6. Isaiah 4, from verse 2 to verse 6. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged, the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Verse 5. Isaiah chapter 4. Verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon our assemblies a cloud and smoke by the day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory, shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Praise the Lord. The title of the short message says Restoration for the Remnant. Restoration for the Remnant. Now, if you read the earlier chapters of Isaiah before this place, before chapter 4. If you read, for instance, chapter 3 of Isaiah, you're going to see that God was declaring judgment upon the land, judgment upon Jerusalem, judgment upon Judah. And God said many things said many things. Yeah, if you read that chapter very well, you're going to see God condemning their sinful hearts. And declaring the rewards of their sinful hearts. So God condemned their sinful hearts and also declared that they will be wasted by the enemy. Yeah. If you read Isaiah chapter 3, you will see many of those things God said concerning Jerusalem and Judah. God said things about how they would be put to shame, how they would be stripped of their beauty. Yeah, how the whole land will come to a ruin. The whole land will be destroyed. Yeah. Yeah, how there will be chaos in the land, conflict, bad leadership and all of that. And those are what was said from the mouth of the Lord in Isaiah chapter 3. Now, let's come to Isaiah chapter 4. In Isaiah chapter 4, we can see a promise of restoration for those that are left, or those that will be left in Zion, in Israel, in Jerusalem. And that is why the Lord has given us this message that says restoration for the remnant, restoration for the remnant. So God is saying to you and I this morning that there is restoration for the remnant among his people, those that are left, those that are still standing in righteousness, those that are still fighting evil, because they have not embraced evil. Those that are still fighting sin, because they have not embraced sin. They hate sin. So those are the remnants. Yeah, we're going to look at 4 points under this topic. Point number one says, don't choose the path of destruction. Don't choose the path of destruction. The people of Israel chose the path of destruction. And that was why God released their enemies to waste them, to destroy them, to enslave them, to kill many of them. For instance, in verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 of Isaiah chapter 4, it says, in that day, I'm reading New Living Translation, it says, in that day, so few men will be left. So which means many of the men, you know, in those days, men are those that went to war. Men are the ones who goes to war. And then the Bible says, in that day, so few men will be left, which means many of them would have been killed by the enemy. In that day, so few men will be left that 7 women will fight for each man, saying, let us all marry you. We will provide our own food and clothing. Only let us take your name so we won't be mocked as old maids. Yeah, because of the great destruction that will happen. God said there will be just few men left. And 7 women will cling onto one man, saying, let us marry you. Don't bother about taking care of us. We'll take care of ourselves. We just want to have your name as our husband. I mean, as our husband. Yeah. This is the kind of destruction that came upon Israel. Yeah, because this prophecy was fulfilled in Israel eventually, because they were destroyed and many of them were taken captive into the land of Babylon. Yeah. But nevertheless, this prophecy still applies to our present generation. There is destruction happening already. Though we might not be seeing people fall down the streets and die, we might not experience disasters in some places of the world, but destruction is really happening as we speak right now. Destruction is happening all over the world. People have been destroyed by Satan, by sicknesses, by diseases. People have been destroyed by sin because they chose the path of destruction. They left God, just as the Israelites did. In those days, they went after other gods. In the same way, we have people in this generation who have heard the gospel. Some of them even claim to have surrendered their lives to Jesus, to have received salvation. But now, they are not walking in the path of the truth. They are walking in their own ways and not in the way of the Lord. These are people who eat sin. They drink sin like they drink water. They chew sin like the way you would chew rice in your mouth or chew a fruit in your mouth. So these are men that don't really care about the law of God, the commandments of God, as long as their own desires are satisfied. They don't care how God feels. despite many warnings, several warnings from the Lord, they really don't want to obey God. They don't want to please Him because they love themselves more than God. So anything that would not please themselves, they are not willing to do it. Even though they know that the things that please God are things that don't please themselves, that don't please our flesh. They know that the things that pleases our flesh, most of them don't please God. They know, and yet they chose to please themselves above pleasing God. So even now, God has handed over such people to the enemy. God have handed them to Satan. So even as I speak now, people are being destroyed. People are being destroyed. I don't know if you know. Destruction does not always have to be physical. Yeah, people are being destroyed. There are people out there who only have few months left to live, and they don't even know that they have just few months left to live. There are people out there who only have maybe 3 years left to live. But they don't know that because they are so blind. Devil have already finished them. So what is walking about is just a corpse. So they are more like a living corpse. Soon they will drop dead. Because God have judged them already. So God's judgment is still going on. So don't think, except there is a natural disaster like an earthquake, a hurricane that destroy many lives, a tsunami. Don't think it's until that happened that God's judgment has happened. Even right now as we speak, God's judgment is among us already. God's judgment is upon the wicked, the disobedient. God's judgment is upon the idol worshippers, the Satan worshippers, demon worshippers. God's judgment is upon many, even right now. And this morning the Lord is saying to you that do not choose the path of destruction. Fear Him. Don't choose the path of destruction. The fact that people don't die instantly in this new covenant doesn't mean people are not dying. People are dying gradually. You know, in the Old Testament, there are some sayings that once you commit them, you die immediately. It's either God Himself kill you immediately, or the people have to stone you to death. So don't think now in the New Testament, don't think that is not happening. It's happening. Only that it might not be that fast as it were in the Old Testament. So even right now, people are dying gradually. We have millions of people out there who have less than 2 years left to live. And they don't know. Some of them, if I see them, I can tell how long they have left to live. Yeah, so people are suffering from God's judgment. In fact, the prevalence of sicknesses and diseases, terminal diseases, among us today is a result of God's judgment. Yeah, it's because our sins are too much. That is why people fall sick. That is why we have diseases that are incurable. That is why people have diabetes, high blood pressure. What else do people have? Cancer. Yeah. Let us read 2 Corinthians 6 verse 17. Second Corinthians 6 verse 17. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, fear the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So God is telling you this morning to come out from among them. Come out from among the multitudes of people who have chosen the path of destruction. Don't join them to sin. Don't join them to practice unrighteousness. Don't join them to do immoralities, to commit sexual immoralities. Don't join them to pollute yourselves. Come out from among them. Be ye separate. Come out from among them. Fear the Lord your God. Jesus said, don't be afraid of the person that can only destroy your body. Be afraid of God who is able to destroy both your body and soul in hell. Fear that one. I pray that the Lord will teach you wisdom and make you to do the right thing before it's too late. Yeah, because once judgment comes upon you, it's already too late. But now there's still grace to repent. Now let's move to point number 2. God will remember mercy if we repent. For those of you that just joined, our topic says restoration for the remnant. Restoration for the remnant. God will remember mercy if we repent. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. God is going to remember mercy if we repent. But I know that many people are not going to repent because they hate the truth and they love unrighteousness. But my desire is that everyone in this ministry, everyone following this ministry will be people who will repent and turn to the Lord so that God can show them mercy. That is why this message is coming to you now. That if you repent, Jesus will show you mercy. Jesus will help you. And this promise of restoration that is in Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2 to 6, shall happen in your life. If you repent. So the remnants are those who repent when they hear the warning. The remnants are those who will turn away from their sins when they hear preaching that condemns their sinful lifestyle. If after you have heard the gospel, especially the gospel of correction, the gospel of warning that is coming at this time, that is coming in these last days, if after you have heard such message and yet you still refuse to repent, then know that you are not part of the remnant. Know that you are part of those who have chosen the way of destruction. And know that when judgment comes, you will not be spared. Yeah, because the remnant are those who will do what 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14 says. These are those who will humble themselves and pray and seek the face of God and turn away from their wickedness, from their sins. That is what the remnants will do when God corrects them, when they hear the truth. If all this while you have been following this ministry, you have been reading our articles, joining our programs, our Bible study classes, midnight prayer sessions, if all this while you have been following this commission and you still have hardened your heart and you still refuse to live a life that pleases God, then know that you are not one of the remnants. Know that you have removed yourself from the list of the remnants that are pleasing God in this end time, in these last days. So there are remnants that are pleasing God despite the level of wickedness and disobedience and rebellion that has filled the earth. There are still few people that are pleasing God now. I hope you are one of them. Now let's move to the third point. How to survive the present darkness. How are you going to survive the present darkness? By present darkness, I mean the darkness that has filled the whole world at this time. The darkness that has made millions and billions slaves to sin. I'm talking about that darkness. The darkness that has deceived many. The darkness that is controlling many. Controlling them to live in sin in all the days of their lives. how do you, as a Christian, survive this darkness? How do you prevail over this darkness? How do you survive this darkness? How will you survive the darkness that is upon this generation? And how will you conquer the present darkness? To survive it, you must defeat it. Yeah, that's why I put it this way, how to survive the present darkness. You can't survive the present darkness if you don't conquer it. Yeah, so let's look at Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. Verse 10 and 11. Ephesians 6, verse 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord. That is how to survive the present darkness. Be strong. Yeah, be strong. This implies that it is in your hands to be strong. So people, they only stop at the prayer, oh Lord, strengthen me. Oh Lord, please strengthen me. I cannot do this alone. I don't think I can go through this anymore. Please, Lord, strengthen me. I'm getting tired. Please, Lord, strengthen me. So some people, that is where they stop. And that is where they never find any strength. Yeah, it's more than asking God to strengthen you. The Bible says, be strong. Oh, Lord, strengthen me. Is one thing. Another thing is, be strong. Yeah. So there's a place of you asking for God's strength, and there's a place of you taking that strength. I don't know if you're getting my point. There's a place of you seeking for God's strength, asking for God's strength, praying for God's strength, and there's another place of you taking that strength by faith. Yeah, but people, they just pray and say, God, help me. Oh, Lord, please strengthen me. I'm so weak right now. But they are not taking the strength. They are not doing their own part to be strong. And that is why they never get strong. Yeah. You can be strong if you want. And you can be weak if you want. So it's all in your hands. When you are asking God for strength, you do your own part. Take steps of faith. Take steps of faith. Take up that strength by faith. Because his strength is already inside of you. Begin to move yourself to do things weakness is saying you should not do. And you will see the strength appear immediately. when situations are telling you that you are weak, talk back to the situations and say, I am not weak. I am strong. When your body is saying you are weak, talk back to your body and say, I am not weak. I am strong. Yeah, the things your body is saying, do you think you can do this right now? You are feeling weak right now. Tell your body and say, I can do all things. I am not weak. Jesus is my strength. So you confess strength and then you take action that shows that you are ready for strength. Yeah, so that is how to be strong. And not only that, don't entangle yourself with things that is going to continue to make you weak. I mean, things that continually makes you weak. Don't entangle with those things. Whatever you listen to, whatever you watch, whoever you move with that is causing you to be weak spiritually, cut them off. All of them. Everything that you know you are doing that is promoting spiritual weakness, cut them off. The kind of thoughts you think in your mind that is promoting spiritual weakness, stop taking those things. Take away fear from your life. So everything that you know is bringing in weakness, cut them off. That is how to be strong. So you have your own part to play when it comes to being strong spiritually. You have your own part to play. Many of you here, you know what Satan is using to bring down your spiritual strength, to bring down your spiritual fire. Get rid of those things. If you feel like on your own you can't, seek help from strong believers. Join hands with strong believers to pray until you get strong. Don't feel comfortable with weakness. So you have your own part to play to be strong. That is how to survive the darkness that is in this present age, that is ruling this present age. That is how to survive the darkness. If you don't take responsibilities for strength, before you know it, you are gone. Everything you think you have, the faith you think you have, the fire you think you have, the seriousness, the love of God you think you have, you will lose everything. Before your eyes, all of them will go. All those things you think you have, all the spiritual strength, trust in God, faith, fire, anointing, grace, spiritual gift, you will lose all of them if you don't take responsibility to maintain spiritual strength at this time. Yeah, and not only that, in verse 11, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you read other verses in this chapter, we don't have time, I would have read them you will see how Apostle Paul began to mention those armor one by one, helmets of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. Yeah. And then evangelism, preaching to others is also part of your armor. Yeah, in that verse 15 it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Yeah, that is readiness to preach the gospel. That is also part of your armor. So you can read those verses on your own. Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 20. You can read it on your own. And you're going to see those the armor of God that you need to put on at this time to survive the darkness that is upon this generation. Yeah. Yeah. In that verse 15 it says, you should put on shoes. Yeah, let me read it in New Living Translation. Ephesians 6 verse 15. It says, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. Yeah. In another way, it means put on the readiness to preach the good news of peace with God. Let that be your shoes. So, preaching the gospel is also part of the armor of God. Yeah, maybe the reason why the enemy is still prevailing over you is because you have not started preaching the gospel of peace. The gospel that helps people to make peace with God. Even as you have made peace with God, so you share that same gospel to make others get peace with God. To make others reconcile with their Creator. So even that is part of your armor as a believer. Yeah, apart from the helmet, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the belt of truth. Apart from the sword of the Spirit, The readiness to preach the gospel is also an armor. So how many of you are really taking that serious? That armor, that spiritual weapon of preaching the gospel. How many of you are always ready to preach? Anywhere you find yourself, whether in the market, in the bus, commercial bus, traveling with other people, or among your friends in the school, even among your children, among your family members, relatives, how many of you have this readiness in your spirit to preach the gospel at all times? That readiness is a weapon. Yeah, you have seen it. I'm not the one that wrote this scripture. This is the word of God. That readiness is a weapon. is part of our armor. So that is how we will survive the darkness that is upon this age. So go through that, all those verses in Ephesians chapter 6 from verse 10 to 20. Then pick out each of those armor of God and put all of them on yourself and see if any devil or any principality will come near you. They will be scared of you. They will be very scared of you. I pray for you that you will put on this armor. All of it. In the name of Jesus. Whatever has been stopping you from putting on all the armor of God, I bind that thing right now in Jesus' name. You will rise and you will wear all this armor, and no darkness will be able to conquer you in Jesus' name. Now let's look at the last point before we pray. Point number 4. God will deal with your enemies. For those of you that are newly joined, the topic of the message says restoration for the remnant. Restoration for the remnant. Yeah. When this restoration comes, it will look like or maybe I should put it this way. As this restoration comes upon you, upon those of us that I believe are remnants, because we chose to stand with God in such a time like this, where many are falling away from the faith and from the truth. So I believe we are all remnants. We are all remnants, all of us here. Yeah. So when the restoration from God comes upon your life, you're going to practically see God deal with your enemies. Let us look at Psalm 47, verse 3. Psalm 47, verse 3. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. Yeah. Verse 2 says, for the Lord Most High is terrible, is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us, and the nations under our feet. So God will deal with our enemies. If we stand with Him to the end, without compromising with sin, with darkness, He will subdue your enemies under your feet. In fact, He will subdue nations under your feet. Hallelujah. Let's also look at Romans chapter 16, verse 20. Romans 16, verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So it says, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. The God of peace, who wants your life to be at peace. The God of peace, who wants your health to be at peace, is going to subdue Satan under your feet very shortly. Do you believe that? That is what God will do to his remnant, for his remnant. And the God of peace shall bring Satan under your feet shortly. When this happens, you will rejoice. You will praise him. You will be glad. And not only that, people will rejoice with you as well. Because the problem and the situation that has been troubling your life shall vanish away completely. Because the God of peace have dealt with your enemies. And this shall be your testimony in the name of Jesus. So we are going to pray now. Before I will be praying for you and on your water. You're going to pray firstly. You're going to say, Father, I ask that you show me mercy and forgive every sin I have committed against you. In my thoughts, in my words, in my actions. Say, Father, show me mercy. Forgive every sin I have done against you. Especially those sins I'm yet to repent from. Say, Lord, I repent today. Forgive my sins. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Living a fearful life is a sin. When you're supposed to fight the enemy, you are running away from the enemy. It's wrong. Repent. Being a coward is a sin. When you're supposed to face the devil and declare how great your God is, then you are running away from the devil. It's a sin. It's a sin. Say, oh Lord, I repent today. Forgive my sins. Forgive my sins. Show me mercy. Wipe away my sins with your blood. The sins I committed in my mind, though nobody knows what I was thinking, but I knew what I was thinking was wrong. Oh Lord, show me mercy and forgive me now. The sins I committed secretly when no one was there, but I know you saw me. Oh Lord, forgive me now. The sins I committed in my actions, in my lifestyle, in my dressing, in my conversations with people, I repent today, O Lord, show me mercy and forgive me. I believe you are talking to God like that. Show me mercy, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We're going to pray three more prayer points before I'll be praying for you. You're going to talk to God. You're going to say, Father, I refuse to walk in the path of destruction. I choose to walk in the path of life, in the path of eternal life. Help me, Lord. Help me to separate myself from those who are already treading on the path to destruction. Say, Father, help me to not join the multitudes to sin against you. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, I choose to follow the path of eternal life. I refuse to walk in the path of destruction. Say, Father, help me to separate myself from the path of sin and death. Help me to walk in the path of righteousness and holiness and fear of God and love of God. Help me, Father, in the name of Jesus. Even if it appears as if I'm the Holy One, I'm the Holy One, the Holy One standing for Jesus. Lord, help me to stand. Even if it appears as if I'm the only one living for Jesus in my entire community and city, oh Lord, help me to stand firm till the end. I want to please you till the end. Help me, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. We have two more prayer points. Some of you, you think getting miracles from God must actually be by shouting very loud at the top of your voice. No. Of course, if we are doing some spiritual warfare prayers, we need to shout very loud at the top of our voices, because according to the scriptures, your shouting is part of victory. Yeah, but that is not how to get miracles from God. Yeah, because I know some churches that if they are organizing a healing and deliverance program, everywhere will be noisy. Yeah, because everyone have to shout and pray so loud so that they can be healed, so that they can be delivered. Yeah, but that is not how we get healing. and deliverance. There are times we have to do that. But that's not how we get healing and deliverance. How do we really get healing? It is by faith in what Jesus has done for us. How do we get deliverance? It is by faith in what Jesus has done for you. Yeah. It is by faith. So you are going to pray. The power of God is here. Yeah. And the power of God is right there, where you are. So our problem has always been how to connect with His power. It's not that His power is far. His power is not far. It has always, the problem has always been you connecting with His power. Yeah, and that is why if you look at the scriptures, you will see that most of the miracles happen without the people doing anything special. They just believed. They just believed that God is able to do it. And God did it. Yeah. They weren't doing anything special. They weren't jumping up and down before they got the miracle. Yeah. They didn't have to shout before they got the miracle. Just because they had faith, it happened. So if you have programmed your mind and this is how I must get my miracle, well, you'll be surprised that after you have done all that you have programmed in your mind, nothing will happen. Yeah. So you're going to pray. You're going to say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge that your power is here to give me restoration. Touch me, Lord Jesus, and heal me now. Restore me now. Open your mouth and pray like that. All it needs is your faith. That is all. And then He needs you to talk. Open your mouth. Confess that faith. Confess the faith. Say, Lord Jesus, I acknowledge, I agree that you are here. And that your power is here. Touch my life right now. And restore me. Restore me. Deliver me. Heal me. Restore me. Deliver me. Heal me. In the name of Jesus. Restore me. Deliver me. Heal me. Restore unto me all that the enemy has stolen. Restore unto me all my blessings the enemy has stopped from getting to me. Restore unto me my strength in you, my health in you, my prosperity in you. Restore unto me all that I have in you, all that I have in you. Restore them to me now, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. All that sin has taken away from me. All that sin has not allowed me to get. All that Satan, demons, witchcraft, taken away from me, all that they have not allowed me to possess. Lord Jesus, restore them unto me right now. In the name of Jesus. Because I know that your power is here. Because I know that your power is here. Thank you, Lord. As you have said those words from your mouth, so shall it be unto you. In Jesus' name. And the last prayer point you're going to pray you're going to say, Almighty God, with your strong hand, subdue my enemies under my feet. Subdue the powers that have been ruling over my life. Subdue them under my feet. The hasha detectilia. Open your mouth and pray like that. Say, Almighty God, with your strong hand, subdue my enemies under my feet. The stubborn enemies that have refused to leave my life alone. The stubborn enemies that have refused to let go of my life. Subdue them under my feet right now with your strong hand. Put them under my feet. They have been ruling over me. O Lord of hosts, now make me rule over them. They have been oppressing me. O Lord of hosts, now make me oppress them. Make me trample upon them. Make me dominate them forever. In the name of Jesus, make me rule over them. Right now. Right now. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to be praying for you. And I believe you have your water right there with you. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your faithful. We thank you for your great love and mercies that is upon everyone here. Thank you, Lord, for being so mindful about our situations that you have made yourself available and you have made your power available to help us out of our negative situations. Thank you for being so kind. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for showing us in today's message that you will help the remnant, that you will touch the remnant, that you will bless the remnant. And we know we are those remnants because out of thousands and millions and billions of people all over the world, we have come to you at this time seeking your face, trusting in you, and choosing to live a life that pleases you. We believe we are those remnants. I ask, O Lord, that according to your word, touch everyone here right now. Give unto them blessings they don't even expect. Blessings they have not imagined they would have in their lifetime. Oh Lord, release such blessings into every life right here, right now. I repeat, blessings, favors, elevation, helps you have never thought you would have in your lifetime. Let the God of Israel, the King of Glory, release them into your life now. In the name of Jesus, I connect every one of you to the flow of God's power right now. I connect your spirit, soul, and body to the flow of God's power, to the healing streams of Jesus that flows down from the throne of God in heaven. I connect you to that stream right now in the name of Jesus. I pray on this water you have placed before you. Let the hand of God touch this water. Let the fire of God enter into this water. Let the power of the Holy Ghost enter into this water. Let the anointing that flows down from the head of Jesus, being the high priest, let that anointing flow into this water right now. And as you drink this water, your life shall not remain the same again. Far beyond healing miracles in your body, you shall also experience touch in your soul and touch of God in your spirit. And there shall be revival, there shall be transformation. And you shall begin to live a life of dominion in this earth in the name of Jesus. And everything you open your mouth to say in the place of prayer, they shall begin to happen instantly in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for I know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, I have prayed. Amen.